This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm Gaius John Bachelor, and Marco Vlejos, Dramaticus, is here. We're in Londinium. Now, we have to get on to the theater. So we've exhausted ourselves puzzling why the optimates, the elite, and their educated young people who are going to take their places. You will enjoy, Germanicus, that I learned that Adam Schiff, who is certainly a major optimates in California, seeking the Senate seat now held by Dianne Feinstein, is challenged by a young member of Congress, Katie Porter, born in Iowa. And I thought, well, what's this? Iowa and California? This is fresh. She's a young woman. She has four children. Yale, Harvard Law, a clerk for the federal courts. Well-trained, Michael. No risk whatsoever. The optimates recognize their future stars. However, the puzzle here is the optimates in China. Again, it's hard to see. Here we are in this proxy war in Ukraine. No end even mentioned, as opposed to being in sight. And we're fighting Russia as if it's the devil, Satan. Worse than Satan, you know, darkness visible. They're going to end democracy. For some reason, we think Russia's a threat to democracy. Very odd. But in any event, we now come to China. And watching a recent spectacular movie called Midway, I think it was made like 15 years ago, I'm not sure. A lot of stars that I didn't recognize. A lot of blue screen with the battle at Pearl Harbor, that sort of thing. I was struck by how the Japanese were projected as sadistic and cruel. And I thought, what's this? You know, it's the 21st century. This is an odd version of the Battle of Midway. That was a dance between two very large naval forces with some very sophisticated naval thinking. Nothing, you don't have to introduce cruelty into this. You can see it as a vast geopolitical contest. However, then I realized it was a co-production with a Chinese company. This is the early part of this century when China was still a trading partner. So I come to this. Here we are in the third decade of the 21st century. China is a direct existential threat. Not about democracy, about prosperity, about how we conduct ourselves, about freedom from the Chinese overlords that sit in the room if you do business in China. Why do the optimates not blink?
China, for decades, has interpenetrated the United States, bought off optimates directly, you know, including Mr. Biden through his son. And they have also become the indispensable market and prop, as in propping up, the U.S. economy. And it's at a point now where the U.S. Commanding heights of the ruling class. Boeing is dependent on China for its market as much as the auto companies are, as much as certainly the computer companies in terms of hardware, and also just about everything else. I mean, you remember the shock of COVID when we realized that China had bought up all the supplies of masks and PPE around the world, and they were at the same time the only suppliers of it. So it all of this is shocking. The whole contretemps surrounding the Wuhan lab leak and American complicity in the entire train of events is only just again a little frisson, a little shiver of the actual total enmeshing of China and the U.S. And when it comes to struggle with China, China established all these Confucius centers, including my university where I teach, Johns Hopkins, but also including Harvard University, and they sent millions to the Belfer Center. And in response, Graham Allison, you know, well-known, you know, noble within the ranks of the university aristocracy, immediately turned around and wrote that, oh, we mustn't go to war with China. We mustn't antagonize China. We must accommodate China. An appeasement response purchased with Chinese money. I mean, this is there are many examples of this, and some of them aren't quite as explicit, but there is no desire to take on China. And the way, again, I repeat myself, the way in which I think the U.S. sought to counter China would be through a demonstration involving Russia over Ukraine, which has not only backfired, there's not only blowback, it's on the verge of complete humiliating collapse. And at some point, the U.S. is going to probably have to do exactly what Graham Allison suggests, which is to appease China. And there won't be anything else we can do. We can't build ships anymore. And China is surging, is the largest merchant marine in the world. I've seen their shipyards and naval bases personally. They're building like crazy, and they have the ships. We do not. And as I said a minute ago, we don't have the weapons. Our stocks are low. It's going to take several years to replace. So what we have managed to do for ourselves in this demonstration war against Russia as a kind of fable or allegorical treatment where we would hold this event up to China and say, see, you can't take on the West and NATO, has actually and is turning out to be self-destructive. It's actually opening the path for China to have what it wants. It wants the reunification of the KMT, the Kuomintang, and the Chinese Communist Party, and symbolically end the century of humiliation. And on top of that, given the way the U.S. has gone out on a limb and is now sending hundreds of its own soldiers to Taiwan, this event is going to also humiliate the U.S., coming on top of the humiliation over the proxy war in Ukraine. And this is a recipe that we have not only given to China, we've bought and mixed all the ingredients. All they have to do is put it in the oven.
I'm going to sound like a reductionist. Forgive me, Germanicus. So the optimates paycheck, in part, is China. Therefore, was it Mark Twain? Yes. That mankind is the only creature that bites the hand that feeds it. Yes. So that's what we're looking at here. We have tension with China, but we're aware that the optimates is aware the paycheck comes from China. And it's okay to beat up on Russia because we don't have any of the action there. Does it come down to that? Follow the money.
Well, if I can add one more explication, I don't think this happened out of some sort of conscious or deliberate intent on the part of American optimates. I think that they were so focused on their political agenda, on maintaining power as a movement of global citizenship for themselves and to continue to be masters of the world, that they lost sight of actual on-the-ground strategic realities. They were focused selfishly. And a lot of this has happened in the last 20 or 30 years. And as we've seen, just look at the COVID era, the short COVID era, the optimates doubled their share of the national wealth. And right now, the inequality of wealth and income in the U.S. looks a lot like France in 1789.
Therefore, what we're seeing here is a straightforward, unintentional fact that the optimates are doing very well in a proxy war in Europe, doing very well with a perpetual proxy war with Russia, doing very well into the future, and cannot envision it all going away.
They're very close to losing societal and political cohesion in the United States itself, which we've talked about at long length. Over a year ago, we talked about civil war in the U.S. And they've also, and that's not out of the question, given the selfishness as a class that the optimates represent. But they're also at a point now, and this is one of the great ironies to bring up this evening, is that the proxy war that is now looking like a dazzling failure, like a descending meteor, is going to be turned into the necessary and perhaps efficient engine of sustaining American empire, even though it's a defeated empire, because through the instrument of a new Cold War, European vassalage and that of others will be reinforced and can be sustained. So, in other words, the optimates win even in losing when it comes to their power. The big question for me is going to, that I ask myself all the time, is how long can they maintain their control over the populares at home?
Germanicus is Makovleos. I am Gaius John Batchelor. We've stayed over long at the Thames. We must hurry on to the theater. It's the company that was held over from last week. The channel is very choppy. It's springtime. The wind blows. The channel is a poor crossing. And theater people are not brave sailors. Neither am I. I'm sympathetic. This is a long way to say they're going to do Trojan Women again. Now, Trojan Women has a lot of weeping and gnashing because this is after the defeat and all the men are dead. And there's some blame shifting going on. It has resonance here in the first century AD. We remember where we came from, a lot of violence, and we see the second century as routinely consolidating the empire. That is not, unfortunately, well, maybe fortunately, what we see for the American empire. We don't see a century ahead of consolidating power. Instead, we see the American empire, especially the optimates of the empire, backing into trouble. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.